Welcome to the Lucha Lounge Podcast. I am your host, Elijah Kang, a sound designer by day, but by night, I am a pro wrestling connoisseur, the proud owner of two cats, and the host of this, the Lucha Lounge Podcast. This podcast is all about giving uncommon people a platform to share their ideas and stories with all of you. So thanks for listening. Here we go. The guest on the 30th episode of the Lucha Lounge Podcast is a self-proclaimed quantum creator. We discuss what that means, her struggle with Adderall dependence, her time at the recording workshop in Ohio, and how all of that culminates to the music she produces today. She is also one of the most unique and unabashedly honest people I've ever had the pleasure of meeting. So without any further delay, please welcome my guest, Alex Purdy. Boom, and we're live with Alex Purdy.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
No problem, man. You are one of the first people that I contacted to have on the podcast, and it took a while, and you're finally here, and I'm really excited to talk to you. You have great music. You have the whole thing is really coming together for you right here, and we're going to get into that. But just before we hit record, I asked you if you describe yourself as a singer-songwriter, and you said no, you describe yourself as a...
quantum creator.
Okay, so... We're just going heavy with it right up front. What is that?
To me, a quantum creator is someone who recognizes themselves beyond labels, like loving beyond what your family member thinks you are, what your teacher thinks you are, all these different labels that society places on us, and being like, I come from a place of pure love. So how can I step into that role? So I'm not a songwriter. I'm not a teacher, I'm not a daughter, like, I am all of these things, but I'm also none of them. So when I'm a quantum creator, anything is possible. And so there's always that chance to be of service in a greater way to the world because you're not under a label of something.
That's kind of crazy sounding. I'm sure you've heard that before, but what does that look like practically? These are like very esoteric descriptions of something. So like, as an artist, how does the paradigm of being a quantum creator look practically when you're writing songs?
Sure. So for music specifically, I would say it allows me to play like a kid when I make music because I don't have to be good. I can be messy and my art can set me free in ways that it didn't used to when I used to label myself. So by letting myself just be like, okay, I have this idea. Let's see. Like, for example, this one song, the melody goes like, he put the moves on me pretty fast, but I was down with that. And then it's like, okay, what's the melody going to be? And I'm still figuring out, you know, what that is, but it can exist on its own as just like a fun thing that is like a joke environment of melodic play, you know?
Huh. So you're saying that, I mean, essentially it is just, it puts you in a place where creativity is easier because there's no pressure of labels involved.
Yeah. And you're just always learning. You can always learn how to play bass or whatever it is. And I feel like by saying you're a quantum creator, it allows yourself to be like, yeah, I could learn how to play bass or I could learn more about music theory. And it doesn't have to be scary. It could be fun.
Huh. Is that something that you've come up with yourself or is this something that existed somewhere else?
Well, I first heard it from this being named Shaman Durek and his podcast, Ancient Wisdom Today.
Time out.
He talked about that.
You're a being?
Yes, because he doesn't necessarily label himself. I mean, he's really big about not labeling himself. So
okay.
The terminology and the language that he uses is just really magical.
Huh. Okay. Obviously, there's a lot of... That's definitely not how I roll. That's cool. I mean, hey, we don't always have to understand everything, right? I mean, that's part of it. But you're very like a hippie, I'm realizing right now. I mean, is that correct?
I wouldn't really say that I'm not. I feel like I'm just me.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. one of the first things that I realized when I started doing research on you as an artist, your music has definitely like an electro pop sound that I really enjoy. But one of the things that was most notable to me that is like the common element of all of your live videos is that you sing with your hands. And you're never standing still. You're never doing like the, I'm holding the microphone and I'm just saying it. You're always dancing around, moving your hands, very emotive with your hands. Are you conscious of that or is that something that just happens?
I feel like the way that I've found most, the way that I'm most at home in myself is when I'm at home in my body. And so music is a very, while it's kind of an esoteric experience, it's also like a very physical experience. Like dancing is so liberating. And that's how I come up with a lot of my melodies is like when I'm dancing, then I'll think of it and it'll just kind of come through. So dancing is a big part of it for sure. And I do my best to just dance in a way that feels true to the song and let go of all the other possible perceptions of it.
Yeah, that's something that you don't hear every day, that's for sure. I'm having trouble, everything you're saying is kind of taking me, it is kind of knocking me off of my balance just a little bit, just because of the way that your mindset and where you're coming from is so different from anyone else that has sat there. Even other singer-songwriters, as hippie as they can be, they're like, this is my song. This is why I play it. I feel like the way that you're talking about it, it's coming from like a bigger place, like a bigger space than just notes and lyrics and performing and stuff like that. So it is very, how do I say it? It's illuminating, you know?
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it too, because I feel like, especially these days, people get locked into ideals too easily. Even just if you just look into the genres of music, right? People will stand by their genre and be like, no, I only listen to this, or I only sing like this, or this is my style. Like, and it's not like they're fighting over it, but you know, people get locked in. But like the way that you're explaining it, it's very liberating and very open. And I like that. We need more people like that. We need more open dialogue, or like at least willingness to like spread out a little bit. I feel like that's important. So let's just back it up then. How did you get into music?
I got back into my love for music around my senior year of college. I was in a really challenging place emotionally, and I had totally stopped listening to music, which I didn't realize until I got back into it, how it's like a completely different world. I mean, no music, like everything is a vibration. How could songs can change someone's life, you know? So my friend played me this song by John Bellion, and that was when I first got back into listening to music, and just his organic ways of putting melodies together just like lit firecrackers in me, and kind of, I guess I was ready to be shaken out of a place of depression, you know? Like, I wouldn't say that he did it. I would say that I was ready for it. And then that was like one of the vehicles of medicine that came to me to bring healing. And then I started writing music again. And I was studying PR, but realizing I really didn't like it. And so I was taking these extra songwriting classes in school. And I remember the first day of class in the songwriting class, all the students besides me had like their instruments. They had been studying their instrument for years. They were talking all kinds of words. I had no idea what music theory they were talking about. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm here. And the teacher tells us on the first day of class, okay, and there's a textbook and you're going to have to read it. And at least half of the class was like, ugh. And I was like, how are they moaning that there's a textbook? I was like, I can't wait to read this book. Yeah. So I was really grateful to start to really feel alive again through music.
Why did you stop?
Because I was prescribed Adderall for a while, and I was like, I needed to focus. It like put me in this mindset where I felt like I had to get a one up on things. I had to like have a good resume. I had to have great grades. And it was like, if you don't do these markers of success, then you're not going to get anywhere. So I was kind of like in this mindset where I thought I had to be a certain way to be accepted. And that led to me thinking like, well, I don't have time for music. Like I need to do really well in school, get great grades, like don't go out, all these things. And I started to realize when I heard his music, like something about it just really affected my emotions. And I was like, wow, it just kind of had these floods of like remembering who I am and like how I used to play as a kid before I was prescribed it, you know? And I realized like I can get off of this. And so I started to like wean myself off of the medication. And now I don't take Adderall, or I personally don't smoke or drink or anything, but people can do whatever they want. Like I prefer to have friends who do lots of different things because I want to hear different perspectives. But that was kind of my journey back into music.
Whoa, that's crazy. That's a crazy story, but I like it. It is like, have you ever heard the story of Proust's Madeleines?
No.
So there was this, was he a psychologist or a writer or something like that? And basically, one day when he was an adult, he took a bite of a Madeleine and it, you know, those cookies. And then just the taste of that, like opened up all this repressed, like memories that he had as a child. And he wrote all these volumes of books based on that. It kind of reminded me of that when you listen to the song. And it is very strange how, not very strange, but it is very significant how we kind of connect experiences that we've had with songs, especially people that are like musically inclined or like have a, you know, deep passion for music. You know, I can remember experiences based on what song I was listening to at the time. You know what I mean? Or you can connect certain experiences that you want to remember with a new song. My friend Raymond is really big on that. So like when he goes on a road trip with his wife or something like that, he'll on purpose find new music because he wants to a new song that he can, whenever he listens to, he'll remember that trip. Wow. And it is reminding me of that. It's crazy how music can do that though.
That's so powerful.
Yeah. You hear like the first couple bars of a song that, you know, you associate with something and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm like right there again. Yeah, man. But it is such a uplifting story to hear that you are now back into it and you've fallen in love with music again. I mean, that's a great thing because you do have great songs, man. You really do. And I really appreciate it. It's always a good thing to see someone performing live and you can clearly see that they are having a great time doing it. And that's you for sure.
Thank you.
How do you feel about performing?
I feel so free. I mean, when I'm on stage, I like to be barefoot because I have flat feet. So I like to like arch my feet slightly because that like helps me feel more grounded. So when I sing, I really pay attention to, this is a really amazing opportunity. Like I'm so grateful to be on stage. Like all of the things it took to get to that point, you know, and all the times that I had to decide I'm going to believe in this to get on the stage, and even in choosing the set list, you know, what songs are going to make it to the show. So when I dance on stage, I really, like last night I had a show and for some reason I was just really thinking about my ancestors while I was dancing and singing, and I was just thinking like they would want me to feel free when I'm up here and thinking about there's so much in this world beyond our perception, you know, that this dance, like I could be dancing in more love into the people's lives that hear it, you know, and they could then spread that love to other people, like the ripple effect, you know? So that was something I was thinking about last night on stage.
Huh. Yeah, it's always a beautiful thing to see someone doing exactly what they want to do and they're really happy to do it. I mean, a bunch of my friends are professional musicians, and one of the best paying GB or general business gigs is a cruise ship musician, because it is, you go on a cruise and you're getting paid every day for the entire trip. Sometimes you're gone for like 3 months, you know what I mean? And people are so stoked to get that, you know, because it's like a, it's a really lucrative thing. But they hate it because it's the same 10 songs over and over and over and over again. It is all the same top 40 covers, you know? And it's like, people have told me that it is like a really soul-sucking thing and you have to fake it. Like on stage, you have to pretend like you're excited and pretend like you're happy because that's part of the show and that is your job. You know what I mean? And when it is your job, if you have that obligation, you have to do it well, you know? So it is a far cry from that. I mean, you love it and you're happy to be there and it is not an obligation, and that's a beautiful thing too, for sure. Yeah, man, let's get into some of your music because I have a lot of I have a lot of thoughts about this. One of the latest videos that you put up on your website is a track called "He's Not the One," right?
Yes.
And just so that everybody is, you know, on the same page, you produce and perform all of your music.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah. Obviously, right? So you're making all your own instrumentals. And then you're tracking these vocals on your own, right?
Yeah, I use Logic and always down to collaborate. I feel like that's the best thing because you never know what's going to happen, which is the most fun.
One of the things, and we're going to, this is a little tangent, but one of the things that I've learned while doing this podcast is that there's so much talent in this area. And people, everybody that comes up that's like pretty connected in the DMV music scene, they always say that. It's like, there's so much talent here. All you have to do is like look on Instagram, just like 10 minutes and it's like so much talent. But going back to the track, "He's Not the One," interesting story because on your website, at least when I listened to it, it was just the instrumental and I had no idea there were lyrics to it. So I was listening to this song. I was like, dude, this is a great song. Like, I appreciate a great instrumental track and it is like really chill electro sounding track. There's like chiptune elements and then like lo-fi elements. And I was like, man, this is really good. And usually, not usually, but sometimes when I listen to tracks like that, I get bored because it's, you know, it's kind of like chill music is supposed to loop and kind of put you in that state, right? But when I was listening to it, I was like, dude, this song's great. It's developing. New things are coming in. And I was like really excited about it, right? And then when you came and then we started talking about the music before we started recording, you said that there's like a whole set of lyrics to it. It's like a full song. So, you know, now I'm happy because we get to hear the whole thing. But yeah, tell me about the songwriting process behind "He's Not the One."
Sure. So I wrote that song. I wrote the verses when I was driving to the post office at around the golden hour. And I was processing this friendship where I was like, I wanted to date this person and they just weren't giving me what I deserved. And I was like, it's kind of one of those situations where you just have to let it go and you just have to learn the lesson so that it doesn't happen again. And so I was driving and the sun was facing me and I just started singing because I was thinking like, how do I actually feel? So I just started singing. If you feel you got to prove why he should love you, he's not the one. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's how I feel. And then I just kept singing it. And I started to feel better because I was feeling kind of upset about it. And I started to feel better about it. And then I started to make the beat. And originally the chorus was just the instrumental part. But then I decided to add in the part about like being polyamorous and I think that's kind of a label too. So since writing the song, I wouldn't label myself as that necessarily. Mm-hmm. However, it was really fun to write something like that and just be like, whatever, I'm free. So
one of my friends who I recorded his album with in this very room, he always says that songs are like snapshots of like what you're experiencing at the time. Mm-hmm. So like it's like a picture and then you can look back to it, but when you look back, you could be a completely different person, but that's how you were feeling at the moment. And I feel like that's like a perfect example of what you were going through because you may not feel like that right now, but at that time in the car on the way to the post office at the golden hour, that's how you were feeling. That's an awesome, I guess, visual for sure.
Yeah, I may not be polyamorous, but he's still not the one.
Kick rocks, homie. All right, so let's hear it.
Sure.
Feel you got to prove why he should love you. He's not the one, he's not the one. If you feel you got to lose yourself to gain his attention, he's not the one, he's not the one. Turn your face to the sun and let it in. Turn your face to the sun and let it in. 'Cause the love that you deserve to win is infinite. It's infinite. I'm back in my body, free to be poly. Amorous, he couldn't handle this. No labels when I land a kiss. Back in my body, free to be poly. Amorous, he couldn't handle this. No labels when I. If you feel you got to prove why he should love you, he's not the one, he's not the one. If you feel you got to lose yourself to gain his attention, he's not the one, he's not the one. Turn your face to the sun and let it in. Turn your face to the sun and let it in. 'Cause the love that you deserve to win is infinite. It's infinite. I'm back in my body, to be poly. Amorous, he couldn't handle this. No labels when I land a kiss. Back in my body, free to be poly. Amorous, he couldn't handle this. No labels when I land a kiss.
Yeah, man, that is a really great song. Like, I liked it before without the lyrics, and now I like it even more with the lyrics. It is a really great song. The version on the website had like a spoken word thing at the end of it, and it says, "You're supposed to receive the love that you're giving to someone, and if you're not receiving that energy back, you have to consciously decide, is it something that I need to continue, or do I need to cut it off?"
Right? Yes, my dear friend Millie, that's the song that's streamable on all platforms, the version of He's Not the One that's on Spotify, iTunes, all of that, mm-hmm. has all of her harmonies, and then that kind of telephone breakdown part, she came up with those lyrics, and it was so fun recording it with her, because I was like, just say exactly how you feel, because she happened to be kind of going through a similar thing, so it was perfect that the universe brought us together at that time. I love her so much, so it was really cool to have her write that part.
Yeah, man. I was gonna ask you, because she, I guess you collaborate frequently. She's on some of your other songs too. Who is she?
Yeah, so I met her in Ohio. I was at Recording Workshop, which is a little over a month long audio engineering school, and we happened to be roommates. So we did a lot of music together.
Oh, nice.
It was really fun.
It's like music summer camp.
Yeah.
Is she from this area too, or?
No, she's from Ohio.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So she's homegrown from that area.
Yeah, but she came to the show last night. She drove 8 hours, her and Roberto, to be in some of my songs.
Whoa.
And then they're driving back today. It's so sweet.
Hey, man. On Memorial Day weekend, it is happening. But I really do like the song. I really especially like lo-fi elements, like using like vinyl effects or like tape machine effects. I really like that. I love stuff that sounds organic, even if it is electro, even if it is electronic and, you know, has the trap beat behind it or whatever. I like stuff that sounds, you know, like real, you know, like wood or leather or stuff like that. I like that you implemented that. It's like that's a good thing. Where'd you make the record? Was it out there in Ohio too, or?
No, that one I made a bunch of months ago. I did when we had Ozone and the mastering software out there. Mm-hmm. I mastered it there, but the actual beat in Logic I made at home. How many months ago? Probably in September 2018.
Oh, okay. So last year.
Yeah. Probably around then.
When you make beats, is it like a long, arduous process? Because for me, it is.
It depends on the song. Mm-hmm. And because sometimes I'll make the beat first and then I'll just sit and let it loop while I come up with the lyrics.
Sure.
So it depends. Yeah. I would say it depends per song.
Cool. One of the things that I wanted to mention about your music is that they're almost all love songs. I feel so bad about like name dropping so much, but I talked to one of the very best songwriters from this area and one of the best songwriters in general. His name is Mike P. Ryan.
Yes. He's wonderful.
Yeah. He's serious with the writing, man. So surgical. And he was here and played a bunch of music. And I was like, if you listen to the podcast episode, like, sometimes I'm just like, I got nothing to say about that.
I've heard it. It's incredible.
Yeah, he's
masterpieces.
Yeah, really masterful writing. He's the opposite of you. He has like no love songs, and he only talks about like dark sides of relationships. So it's like cool to talk to someone where almost all the songs are love songs. I mean, that shows, man. There's a balance in the world, right? Yeah, that's one of the things that I want to talk about. It is. Are they all, you know, autobiographical? Is it all the stuff that you're experiencing you just pour out onto the page? Or is it when you come up with lyrics, are you imagining it? Or like, I feel like I could be this way in this situation. How does that come to you? Like, how does the inspiration strike you?
Sure. So it's either that it happened or it's that I want it to happen and I'll sing about it in past tense as if it's happened.
Mm.
So for example, Into You is all past tense as if it's happened.
Hmm.
So that's one example.
Yeah. That song's good too.
Thank you.
Anyways, one of your songs is called On the Dance Floor.
Yes.
And the very first time I saw it, it was, you know, on your website and on the thumbnail of the YouTube clip, you know, you have all these neon colors with the on the dance floor and text like zooming up from the back. So I was like, oh, it's time. It's time. It's a banger. Like it's happening. So I was like all ready for it. And I was like, okay, you know, because, you know, you judge with your eyes first, you know, you definitely do judge books by their cover or else, you know, why would they have elaborate covers? Anyways, we don't have to talk about that. But, yeah, so I was ready to hear like a, you know, electro pop or like a, you know, real like EDM banger. And it's completely not what I expected. And I was like, oh, when it started, you know, when I pressed play and the music started, I was like, whoa, this is completely not what I expected, but in a really good way, because this song is like completely opposite from all that. It's like super minimal, really gentle sounding. And then the lyrics are really visual, which I'm a huge fan of. The line about the iridescent skirt, I really like. And then the parallel with the spearmint sweatshirt, I really like that. But just that whole dichotomy of like the visual of it and actually how it sounded, Yeah, I really appreciated that. I don't know if it was intentional, was it? Or
thank you. Well, the cover picture, my mother is a wonderful photographer, and I asked her to take a picture of the iridescent skirt for the song because I wanted to collaborate with her, you know? It's really fun. So she took a picture of it, and then I had an image that I could overlay, and I just wanted it to be so bright because that was how I was feeling, you know, when we were on the dance floor. It felt like that electricity and that vibrancy and that spontaneity
right. That
you could never plan, you know? And right. I had always wanted to meet someone on the dance floor like that. And then it happened that night, and I was just like, this is my dream. I love it.
Well, the cool thing about it is that it is a very short song. It's like not even 2 minutes, right?
No, yeah. It was a short moment, so...
That is super cool. I really do like that because, like, sometimes all you need to tell a story is a verse, chorus, and then you're out. And, like, even the way that it ends, just kind of chopped at the end, I thought that was really well done. And the song, I do like it. So why don't we hear it?
Sure.
I'll never forget the night I met you in my iridescent skirt. I went to see my friend's concert in DC by the water, and you came right out of the blue. I met you on the dance floor, take my hand, spinning me around and around, around again on the dance floor. Take my hold, my hand, spinning me around again. Spearmint sweatshirt while winter subsides like a technicolor dream. Ever since you're in my life, everything's in bloom since I met you, and you came right out of the blue. I met you on the dance floor, take my hand, spinning me around and around, around again on the dance floor. Take my hold, my hand, spinning me around again.
Yeah, man, again, very, very surprising. And one of the things that I always appreciate in an artist is that they can come and perform it live. I think that is, I said it before on the podcast and I'll say it again. It is a crucible that tests the strength of a singer-songwriter is if you can come in and play your songs live in one take, no edits, whatever it is, you know, and you're doing it. Granted, you're not playing anything and you're just singing, but the songs are translating just as well.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be here.
making me blush with all of this, all those positive comments. Definitely shouldn't. But yeah, it is a great song. And another thing that I noticed about your music is that the length of your songs vary a lot. And like you were saying, it was a short moment, so a short song. And I can't get over that. That's such a cool way to come up with a concept for a song like that.
Thank you.
Is this guy gone now, or well, he is immortalized in this song.
He's immortalized in the song,
but just in the song.
I think that might be some confidential material.
Okay, yeah, we don't have to talk about it.
But we could keep in the bit that it's confidential. Okay, it's kind of funny. Yeah.
Confidential. We don't
great
need to
person.
Talk.
Yeah. Super great.
Yeah, on the dance floor is super positive. It focuses on such a happy moment. And now that I know that it actually happened to you and that was a story behind the song, it really makes me like the song more. And I feel like more people that hear this, I guess, interview or this podcast episode are going to love your music even more because they know your music comes from such a positive and honest place. Mm-hmm. I feel like artists that are trying to contrive a certain emotion or you know, different artists write different songs for different reasons. But for you, it is just so pure. Like the energy that you have in you, you just want that to be replicated in your music. And that's it, you know, just for the sake of it. And I think that is a, that really is a beautiful thing too.
I'm so grateful that that comes through.
Yeah. But it's only because you're explaining it to me and, you know, like showcasing the stories behind the anecdotes behind your music. It's really highlighting that. And I feel like more attention needs to be placed on the story behind the music. Yeah, man, I think it's just another like wrinkle in songs and like another wrinkle in what an artist is. It's like where is the genesis of this song come from? Where was the inspiration? So, I mean, you're doing a great job on it. So, speaking of happy songs, the other song that comes to mind, Chase You Down, is not so happy. In fact, it's a little bit angrier.
It's pretty angry.
It's interesting because you're probably not the person that I think of when I think of angry or anger. You're super, super bubbly, such a bright, positive personality, but I guess not all the time.
So that song, Chase You Down, I wrote probably last month. It's very new. Very new. I was feeling, let's see. So the first line is, I'm not here for your approval, not here for your praise. That was regarding a person in my life who I felt like I was giving a lot to, and there wasn't really a flow of reciprocity. So I had to kind of reevaluate what I'm doing, like why I'm doing what I do, whatever it may be. Like, and well, it's definitely not for your approval, and it's right. definitely not for your praise. So
right.
I wrote the song as kind of a, I suppose, defiance and just taking my power back, because while the person might not know the song's about them, it's not really about that. It's about how you're moving forward from what you learned, you know, like how I was moving forward from recognizing that in some way I manifested that I wanted to give them so much and then they weren't giving to me. Like, something just needed to be balanced in that interaction. So that was what happened. And now I can not let that continue, not let that drain my energy, and make a song to remind myself that I'm not here for their approval. Not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to be down for being a quantum creator. You know, like, not everybody's going to be down for whatever you may like to do. So it was kind of a reminder for that.
So it's very introspective. Another thing that I wanted to mention is that you use a lot of, in this song especially, you use a lot of breaks. Are you kind of in like using breaks to accentuate how you feel?
Yeah, it's like, I'm done with this, you know? It's like, poof, done, done with it.
I like that. Silence is so important in music because it shows you what you're missing.
Whoa.
You know? And then so, especially in a song like this, when the whole song is about cutting someone out, it's a really effective songwriting tool to accentuate that. Thank I don't know you. If that was intentional or not, but
yeah, I think it was how I was feeling. So kind of, I do my best to describe the story in the lyrics, and then Chase You Down was kind of a practice of using less storytelling. Like, I wrote on the dance floor before that, and it's very visual.
Yeah,
all of the details of that evening. And then kind of comparatively, Chase You Down is more of, I don't have that much to say. It's more the feeling of the instrumentation that comes across as like the, don't fuck with me, you know? Like,
yeah, for sure.
When I love people, I really love them. So,
yeah. So
can we curse on here?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Say whatever the fuck you want. yeah, man. So let's hear it.
Yes. Okay.
I'm not here for your approval, not here for your praise. I'm not here for your approval, not here for your gaze. Ooh, I won't chase you down or make you stick around. I won't chase you down. Coming my way, breaking a sweat every day. I know the reason that I came. I won't chase you down or make you stick around. I won't chase you.
It's interesting, and you kind of hear it in the live version, but more in the recorded version. Obviously, because in the recorded version, you have more, I guess, freedom for vocal textures and how you slide into notes and stuff like that. But one of the things that I wanted to highlight was that there are certain parts in the song when your voice like slides into notes, and then you hit that tail end with a little bit of vibrato, and it's like very violin-like. Yeah, and I was listening to it. I try to listen to songs initially not in the studio, like not in an optimum condition, just because I want to see how a song strikes me when I'm just in the living room, like on the TV or like, you know, through an iPad or whatever. And that was one thing that it made me turn around. I was like, oh, that was nice. Hi. Yeah, man. So when you start to produce your tracks, are you conscious of the fact that you have a lot of varying vocal textures in it? And is that something that you kind of highlight?
Yeah, this track was really exciting to produce because it was right after I had learned about automating effects in vocals, mm-hmm. like automating echo, automating distortion. So on the recorded version of Chase You Down, my friend Millie does some of the harmonies, and on both of us, I add some of the tail end of the singing, some echo, and then on some of them, like a little bit of distortion. So it sounds kind of like almost like a snake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so that was really fun.
Yeah, it is. You know what's crazy to think about? Like, it's so easy to do it now, but if you wanted to automate something in an analog studio, the work that
so
it
was. Lucky.
Yeah, man, it really is. I feel like all engineers should have experience in an analog studio. Tape machine studio, just so that they can know and appreciate where we are right now. Like, I feel like it's so easy now, like with Pro Tools, like automation. Oh, just draw the ramp and it's like the perfect ramp, you know what I mean? Like back in the day, you would have to slide your, you know, the fader up, and then like if you like on the SSL, it's exponential, so like the gain staging is in a way where like you need to go slow and then speed it up on the fader.
Like EQing, like having to EQ it before the signal comes in. And then if you do it in analog, you can't undo it.
Yeah, it's like, you can't undo it. Like that's kind of the stuff that you miss, because a lot of like great sounding tracks is just the magic that happened. You can't ever recreate that. I mean, you could probably get close with the gear that we got, because I mean, I'm a huge Universal Audio fan, obviously, but like, their modeling is as close as it can get. But like some stuff that was created by accident. Like,
yeah,
it's just, but it's on the tape. It's there forever. But yeah, getting back to Chase You Down, I really do like your vocal textures in that. And I really like how the song culminates at the end. Like it builds dynamically and with the instruments. And I thought the ending was really masterfully done as well.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Thank just you. A good, good song all around.
It was very therapeutic yeah. to make. It's exactly how I was feeling. I couldn't have, like, that was, that song is how I was feeling about that. That's pretty yeah. much it.
I mean, I don't think I've met someone as, yeah, as very honest with their, with the creation of their music. It is just how I felt at the time. This is it. And that's it. You know, if you like it, good. If you don't, go fuck yourself. Like, I feel like...
No, if you don't, that's great. Yeah. That's all the love to you. Yeah. Like, you don't have to like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I feel like that's your vibe. And I, like, I like that, man. Like, I feel like in the Instagram era, everybody's worried about perception.
Don't have time for that. I'm going to die one day. Like, I can't be worried about that.
Damn. I don't have time for that. I'm going to die one day. That is crazy. That's awesome. Speaking about silence in songs, right? Yeah, you said that you had an a cappella song.
Yes. So I wrote this song on New Year's Day, this past New Year's. I went to Great Falls and I just wanted to be alone by the trees and kind of reflect on the past year and set my intentions. I had just recently moved back to Maryland. So I was, you know, just needing to kind of ground and get balanced. So I went out there and I was listening to this podcast episode with Adrienne Marie Brown, and she was doing this visualization exercise of reflecting on your year and just kind of setting your intentions for the following year. So while doing that exercise, I ended up writing this song, and the song is called Listen. So this is how it goes. Oh, this year I learned I take many different forms. This year I learned I might have been here before. There are many paths to healing when I let them in. Every interaction can provide its medicine, learning to listen. To the mountain, learning to listen to what I found in the river, stream, and the sunbeam must be an omen. Oh, this year I learned I take many different forms. This year I learned I might have been here before. Learn from social justice to receive sacred instructions. Many paths we can show up in. We take many different forms. Many spirits made us and they dreamed us up. Together we're the medicine. Learning to listen. To the mountain. Learning to listen to what I found in the river, stream, and the sunbeam must be an omen. Oh, this year I learned how to move back home. Mom, Dad want what's best for me, to put away my clothes. Learn the ways of destiny starts with a hello. We're all walking each other home. Learning to listen to the mountain. Learning to listen to what I found in
The river stream and the sun beam must be an omen. Golden.
Yeah, man, that's a great one. I do love the lyrics, and I love the sentiment behind it. You know, you set your intentions and then you get after it. Yeah. I do like that. This is the first time that someone has sung a song a cappella, and I do want to commend you on it, because I always say that the traditional singer-songwriter with the acoustic guitar is the most vulnerable you can be on stage or in a live setting, right? It's actually without any of that. It's actually a cappella on your own, because your vocal performance and your songwriting, that's the only thing selling the song. You know what I mean? For you to undertake that, you know, no edits, that's a brave thing, man.
Well, I just feel like that song, because the way that I sang it was when I was just in the forest, and the only thing around me was the trees and the mountains and this river stream that was like kind of off in the distance. And there's so much to be learned by being in nature, because no tree is trying to prove to you that it's a butterfly. In addition to that, I really like to be by river streams, because I feel like they have a lot to teach me. Because when you view people like river streams, you may meet the same person, but they're different every time that you meet them. Like, the you that I meet tomorrow isn't the you of today. So I won't hold anything against you, what you used to do, you know? Like, you're not those things that you did. You're what you choose to do now. And when you're looking at the river, you can come back to the same spot every time, but each time that you show up, it's a completely different river. And I think that's so powerful. And if we could see each other that way more often, then we could see the healing in each other instead of the pain that we've caused each other.
That is absolutely true. Too much negativity these days. Not a fan of it. So it is great to see you coming from such a positive place. I mean, we need more of it, right? We need more of it. Yeah, man, I do like that song. I really do like it.
Thank you.
Another song that kind of reminds me of this whole, you know, vulnerable performance aspect of songwriting is a song on your website called Side of the Highway, and not the studio version. It's the video that you have up on there. I thought it was very interesting because you chose to sing it live with the instrumental just in the room, not overdubbed and making like some produced thing where you're just essentially just lip syncing and then syncing the audio, right? I really like how you did that, because that is another very brave thing. And it's all one take. So any imperfections that might have happened or any little nuances in the music, that's there forever. You know, do you ever think about that, especially with a performance?
Yeah, definitely. That song specifically, Side of the Highway, I wrote when I was supposed to be meeting up with someone to collaborate, and I went to their house and they weren't there. And there had been a couple of instances where I had this gut feeling like, okay, maybe I should stop, you know, stop doing this. And then this happened, and it was kind of like the last time. Mm-hmm. And I realized I can't do this anymore. And so I drove home. I decided not to wait until they got home. And I just had to pull over on the side of the highway and just cry, because I had let that happen, that type of thing where you're not feeling valued by someone else, happen a couple of times with this person. And I was like, I can't let this happen anymore. I need to feel these emotions so that I can learn the lesson and move on. So I was like, I'm just going to pull over on the side of the highway, because people pull over. I've seen people pull over, so I'm just going to do it too. And put my hazards on and just feel my feelings. So then I drove home and I wrote the song. And in that experience of sitting in the car, you turn the car off and you're just crying, there's no rush. Like, you realize there's no rush to get to your destination. All that matters is that you feel how you're feeling. Everything's going to be fine. So my intention with the delivery of the video was that it's not perfect. Just like the moment that I decided to pull over and be like, dang, I feel hurt by this. So that means I need to feel this and I need to not let this person treat me that way. So in making the music video, I mean, that was just the tools that I had, really. Right. Like,
almost out of necessity.
Speaker. Yeah. And I wanted to share the song and it wasn't going to be perfect. So, and it was actually, my mom filmed it. It was really fun. There was, she saw in the hallway, there was this nice lighting and she was like, let's just film it right there. We'll just do it right there. And so we filmed it and it was really fun. And it felt really vulnerable because I'm not really used to filming music videos. And that song particularly, you know, has a lot of emotions behind it. So I just figured I'm just going to sit here and sing the song. We're going to play it on the Bluetooth speaker and that's good enough.
Yeah, man. I think in a time where everything can be fixed in the studio, literally everything. You sing off pitch, I got you. You know, the space isn't, you know, optimal, I got you. You need more reverb, I got you. Like, in a time where studio work is so surgical, it's like plastic surgery for bad singers or bad music. You can fix anything, you know what I mean? It is pretty cool that you're willing to just put yourself out there without the help of anything.
Thank you.
Yeah, I do like that. I think that's pretty brave because as someone that, you know, I don't really do it too much these days, but like someone that has created music in the past, it was like, that take wasn't perfect. Let's get it again. Let's get it again. Let's get it again. And then, you know, I mean, there's a time and a place for that, but like to see someone just break out of that and just be like, you know what? I don't care. You know, this is how I'm feeling. This is a song that was a snapshot of how I was feeling at that moment. Right. And then just put it out into the zeitgeist, if you will. You know what I mean? That's awesome. So let's hear it.
Okay.
Hurry to be old. this space where the silence reigned. I feel this space where it's blurry. My heart beats, I start to scream, free the dark from me. Blurry, but I won't leave until I see peace of mind on the side of the highway.
Yeah, man, again, you know, very similar to the video. Sang it live, one take, no edits, no nothing. Yeah, man, it's another great song.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. The last song that I wanted to talk to you about is this song called Into You. And this song is super cute. The performance, vocal performance, is very intentional in that you are singing it from a place, like a very like flirtatious, like happy with where you're at kind of a place. And I think that really carries through into the song.
Thank you. It's funny because I wrote the song wanting to feel that love. This was a song that I wrote just in past tense as if I found that person. And maybe sometimes that person is yourself, you know? But I was just imagining, you know, the love of my life. And because I didn't want to feel like, because I was kind of like, oh, okay, I moved back home. Well, I want to find love of my life now, you know? and then so I was like, instead of feeling like that, I could just write a song as if I already found them. And then I wrote it and I felt so much better.
Oh, wow. For you, really, songwriting is therapeutic.
Oh, super.
Yeah. That's interesting. I don't think I've met anybody that finds that much therapy in music. I mean, like, to a certain extent, you know, all songwriting is therapeutic because you're getting it off your chest, you know, whatever that emotion is. But like, you're doing it intentionally. You're like, I want to remember this, or I want to fix this, I want to address this, and it needs to, you know, and then so you create the music. So that's very interesting. But yeah, man, this song I really like, and yeah, it is just super cute. I don't have lots of descriptors for super cute stuff. I mean, like, you know what I mean? So I guess we should just listen to it.
Sweet. Okay.
Here we go.
I love how amazing it's been getting to know your imperfections. I love how amazing it's been to feel this infatuation. You know it's taken me higher. Feel the flame of my desire, reborn into the fire of loving you. We dance under the moon, painting pictures of lovers. There is no other who can do what you do. Yeah, yeah, I'm into you. I'm into you. I'm into you. I'm into you. Where do I begin? Your fingertips are dancing on my skin. I love how amazing it's been. Can you feel this infatuation? You know it's taking me higher. Feel the flame of my desire, reborn into the fire of loving you. We dance under the moon, painting pictures of lovers. There is no other who can do what you do. Yeah, yeah, I'm into you. I'm into you. I'm into you. I'm into you.
Yeah, man, I can't say it enough. I really do like that. The little like laughs that you cut in and the little giggles and stuff, that really sells the song emotionally. You know, I can feel it, you know, the emotion behind it. So that's a good one. It's a little bit different from all the rest of your catalog, but not all emotions are the same, right?
True.
Yeah. So music is definitely one of the things that you love and are putting time and effort into it. And it is showing just the fact that you went to the recording academy to learn all the tricks of the trade and all that stuff. It just shows that you're taking it, you know, a little bit seriously. I mean, because you are a producer, you got to learn those engineering chops to make it happen, right? But that's not the only thing that you're into.
Correct. Yes. So I'm interested in the ways that my music can support communities that are involved in sustainable agriculture and permaculture. I had this dream that I made a song that was supporting this permaculture school. And I have a lot to learn about permaculture. I personally have not done formal training. A bunch of my friends have. However, I have a lot to learn, so I'm just going to describe it as best as I can. But from my understanding of permaculture, it's the type of farming that is small scale and very biodiverse. And it supports anything that is planted is intentional to support the system as a whole. So say you plant one type of flower because you want the cats to eat that flower, and then that'll support something else. And you'll plant a certain amount of, say, squash in this certain season. Like, there's specific timings of when you plant things, and sometimes they plant things according to the moon cycle. And it's all just very supportive of the whole. And it also regenerates the soil. So instead of monocropping, which is just one plant for miles and miles, that destroys the soil.
And then you gotta let it go fallow for a little bit and then plant on another side while that soil recovers.
Yeah, whereas this instead of where that depletes the soil because you're constantly trying to reap what you sow, permaculture actually restores the soil. And we need that because there are food deserts in so many places. So yeah. I had this dream that I wrote a song where it was for a permaculture school, and they played the ad for people who had never heard of permaculture before. So, like, they're, you know, with analytics or whatever, they're able to target the demographics. And then in the dream, all these people started learning about permaculture and were inspired to start planting their own stuff, whether how big or how small. And I woke up and I was like, oh my God, that'd be so cool.
The dream is super detailed, super elaborate too. You're like, It's as if the dream had an outline. These are things we need to cover, I guess. That's crazy though, man.
So I recently, as I said, moved back to Maryland, and I've done some collaborations with Everybody Grows, which is a really great organization, and I'm interested to learn about more. And, you know, if anyone listening, I'd love to volunteer and plant stuff and just get my hands in the soil.
What is Everybody Grows?
If you look at their website, they talk about everything they do. They're super, super kind, and Jake runs it with his family. It's really amazing. They plant. I know that they have gardens at fire stations and in different communities that in their, what's it called? Like, community centers, and they'll create gardens there. And it's just so fun. Everyone's so nice and has so many different skills. They'll talk about all these crazy plants that they know about and plants I've never heard of, and just everyone's learning from each other, you know, and they want to support the greater community as a whole. So I definitely want to be more involved in things like that and use my songs, because music is such a way to bring people together, to kind of spread the message of that, and also to actually be involved locally in that.
That's really admirable. Are you writing music to reflect that?
I did write a song for Everybody Grows, and it was funny because I had written it before I met them. So the first verse is like, we built a beehive in the backyard, turned the lawn into a garden. Come on over, get your hands all dirty. Come on, pour your heart in. And then I met them, and they actually have a beehive in the backyard, and their lawn is a garden.
Cosmic. Quantum creator.
And then the pre-chorus goes, we got herbs growing in spirals, children running through dandelions. And when I was at school in Ohio, I was texting Jake about, you know, when I'm coming back, I'd love to be a part of more things. And he said he was going to invite me to they're going to plant an herb spiral. And I was like, oh my God, that was the one part of the song that wasn't in it yet. And then the chorus is like, Come on over, grow, come on over, grow, come on over, grow with me. So I'm still looking for the instrumentation, but
right.
It was really fun.
That's awesome. It is awesome that you're just using music to express whatever is on your way, because that sounds like a jingle, like on an ad, you know what I mean? But it is just what you're feeling at the moment.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. It's refreshing to hear something like this.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, man, it is. That's a good one. So where are you planning to take this, the music thing, the whole thing?
I'd say day by day. I mean, I really want to collaborate with more people locally and explore more venues and hear more artists that are playing around here and see the ways that can intersect in community events with farming and stuff, you know, and maybe even like workshops with little kids about music. And then we could write a song where we plant microgreens and then we write a song about it or something about like the patience it takes to watch seeds grow or something. I'm just spitballing here, but
that's so cool though. Like the way that you're thinking is very intentional. I like that. Yeah, man, we've been talking for a minute. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about or mention?
I'm just so grateful to be here.
You gotta stop it
your
with
time.
That.
No,
I'm
Thank
just
you.
I appreciate it. But yeah, I mean, just for me, this has been a really, like I said before, illuminating discussion. You're unlike anybody else that's been here. Not just because all people are different, but yeah, your perspective is, it is very spacey at times, and you know, in that side of things. But that's great too, because I like to talk to people with refreshing new perspectives. It just broadens my mind more. Hopefully it broadens the minds of everybody listening. And your music is great. I'm a big fan. I can't wait to see what else is in store for you musically. And yeah, man, you got to come back on again. I'd love to have you back. It would be a great time.
Thank you. I'd love to be back. And I guess if anyone wants to collaborate or find me on social media, I'm on Instagram at Alex Purdy Music. My last name is Purdy. So, yeah.
Thank you, man. Alex Purdy, ladies and gentlemen. And there you have it. The 30th episode of the Lucha Lounge podcast is in the books. I had such a great time talking to Alex, and I'm really impressed with not only her music, but with her perspectives and opinions on life in general. If you'd like to see what she's up to, follow her on Instagram at Alex Purdy Music or visit her website, alexpurdymusic.com. Whoa, 30 episodes. That's kind of a milestone, and I couldn't have done it without all the support from you guys who listen in. Please continue to support the podcast, tell people about it, and make sure to leave some reviews and stars if you like what you hear. Well, I guess that's it from me. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time. Bye.